We're now into hour 40. Now I can see the end in sight. Thank goodness. It's been quite an adventure, to say the least. And that's not just the DJ Marathon itself. It's all the lead up and should I do this or shouldn't I do that and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But there's, amongst all the fun and all the kind of, you know, the giving away things and auctions and all that kind of people spending stupid money just to have a piece of cake and a cup of tea, there's a kind of serious side to it, and it's obviously we're raising money for Macmillan Cancer Support, and which is one of the reasons, hold on if I switch the mic on here, why I wanted to have a chat with Stella.
Hello.
Right now, you've been through the whole kind of pretty much the whole thing of cancer treatment, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So take me back to when you first discovered there might have been a problem.
Well, I first discovered it, it was probably May, June of 2012.
Okay.
But there's I found a smallish lump in my breast.
Mm-hmm.
But stupidly, I didn't do anything about it. I had an awful lot going on at the time anyway, and that was something I chose to ignore.
Right.
And thought, no, I'm sure it's fine. It's probably just a cyst. It'll go away. It's probably caused by stress or something. All the things that you know, when you're in denial about these things.
I think that's probably quite normal. I think most people think that, don't
they? Other people have said to me that they'd have probably done the same. I think it depends on your character.
Yeah.
But I then had to take notice of it. The end of January of this year, when it had got too big to ignore, very, very painful.
Right.
I couldn't wear a bra, and it was hurting that much.
Wow.
And it obviously wasn't going to get any better.
Mm.
And eventually I gave in and made an appointment with my GP. We'd recently moved house, so it was a new GP's practice I'd just signed up with.
Yeah.
That was the first time I'd been there, and the GP was basically horrified, and within 3 days got me an appointment at the local clinic, Jarvis Centre in Guildford, to have it properly looked at. It's a sort of diagnostic centre. It's actually where Bernie Nolan was diagnosed as well.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Same place. And that was, I went to the GP on the Monday and was at the Jarvis by the Thursday.
Okay.
And when I was that actual day, which was the 7th of February, which is a date that I probably won't forget.
Probably not, no.
I was actually diagnosed then and there. I mean, they did the biopsy, they did whatever, you know, they had to do, but just from looking at me and looking at ultrasounds, the doctor could tell what it was.
They knew what it was anyway.
Yeah.
So when you went to the doctor, so when you first found something, did you actually think at the time and then just ignore what you thought?
Yes, I did. I mean, obviously women are told to be aware of lumps in their breast. So I think almost straight away I thought, there's a lump there. I mean, it's I do have a fairly lumpy breasts at certain times of the month, as some ladies do. So it wasn't, you know, I could say that for a few weeks, but really I knew it was unusual.
Yeah, right. So when you went to the doctor after ignoring it for so long, were you fairly certain that it was going to be bad news?
I think in the back of my mind, yes. Of course, you do hope. You have that little tiny bit of hope. Perhaps it's just some really bad infection. I'd been very run down, sort of emotionally and physically. Perhaps it's just something that has got infected. Perhaps it's something, some awful abscess that they can remove or drain or something. But no, I think in the back of my mind, I had to acknowledge that it was likely. And the speed with which they got me to the Jarvis Centre, that frightened me a bit. And I knew, gosh, they're obviously worried.
Yeah.
If they're worried, then yeah, you know, it is something, obviously something to worry about.
Okay, so when they give you the news of, you know, what they've discovered. What happens then?
Well, they gave, as I say, they were able to diagnose it on that day, but I had to go back a week later for the actual official biopsy results.
Okay.
I knew what they were going to be, obviously, but it's what you do.
Yeah.
So I went back then. The day I went for the initial appointment, there was a lovely nurse at the centre whose job it was to talk to people who have had that sort of diagnosis.
Yeah.
She was there on the second appointment as well, and she sat with me, and I was in a bit of a state, obviously, and talked me through what was likely to happen, although she couldn't say definitely.
Okay.
And the next step was an appointment with my consultant at the hospital. Was actually that appointment was the same day as the biopsy results.
Okay.
And he then had a look at me. He said, "We will probably need to do chemotherapy first because this is so big. We can't remove it.
It's too big to just remove.
Yes, it's too big for surgery immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So we will need to do chemotherapy. But what he had to do before then, or what had to be done, was test to see whether it had spread because it had gone to the lymph nodes,
which
they could tell from the biopsy. And that was the worst time of all, the actual waiting for the tests, waiting for the results of the tests and the scans
to
see if it had spread.
You hear so much that once it's got your lymph nodes, you've had it. That's what they tell you.
You hear that. And that was, obviously, that was the worry, that it had gone to the lymph nodes. Mm. That is how it spreads.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always mean it has. But obviously, once they're doing the scans, there is the possibility that it has spread.
Yeah.
If it has spread, you're dealing with something completely different.
Yes.
Because that can't be fully cured.
No.
It can be treated. It can be held at bay.
Yeah.
But it can't be cured.
Okay.
Which was what terrified me. But again, at the hospital, I was introduced to the lady who is my breast care nurse, Helen, and she again went through it all with me and said, and I was terrified. I was saying, if they can't cure it, am I going to die? Is that it?
Mm.
And she said, no, we have women who it's not cured, but it's treated effectively. Mm. And we treat it as a chronic illness, like other chronic illnesses.
Yeah.
You have times of treatment. You have times when you're not in treatment. We treat it as we need to. So it's not, these days, it's not always a death sentence, even if you're told that it had spread, which helped me through those difficult, I think it was 2 weeks, 10 days, something like that.
Okay.
When I was having the scans and not knowing the results. And the day, it was the 27th of February, which is a sign of how quickly things happen because I was only diagnosed on the 7th.
Yeah.
The 27th, I went back to see my consultant for the results of the scans.
Yeah.
I was absolutely terrified.
Yeah, I bet.
But somehow, and I don't know how, it hadn't spread.
Right.
There was no sign of cancer in the rest of my body.
Right. That's good news.
That was a huge relief. It had been there. It had been in my breast for months. I'd known about it for months.
Yeah.
How it didn't spread, I don't know, but it didn't, so.
And obviously liked it there and didn't want to go anywhere else.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a little break for some music. One of your play, because we're playing Mika next, because I know you like Mika.
Okay.
And we'll come back and we'll chat some more.
Okay.
It's Mint FM. It's the DJ Marathon with Monkey Boy. And we're also broadcasting on HKC Radio. That was Mika and Rain, one of Stella's sponsored playlist choices. And we have Stella in the studio. Not only was she here for tea, she's here for an interview as well. Just can't keep away. When you were saying during that song that you know, it's important to note that, you know, just because this was your experience, it's not necessarily how it will go for, you know, someone else.
My cancer is my cancer, and my treatment is my treatment.
Yeah.
And this is just what I experienced and what I was told. So it might be different for others.
It might even, you know, vary from region to region.
Yes.
In terms of the procedure, in terms of the...
I would think it did. I think the 2 week rule that I experienced when you go to the GP,
yeah,
and they strongly suspect cancer, they put you on a 2 week rule.
Okay.
It means that after 2 weeks, you're going to know you have a diagnosis and you have some sort of treatment plan,
okay,
or some sort of idea. I think that's a national thing. I was told that that's
right
all over the country. But other than that, it can vary, I guess. Yeah.
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 Now, so once you have your treatment plan all set up, what was the time frame between when it was all agreed what was going to happen to it actually starting to happen?
I think it was about, it was 10 days. I started my chemo on the 7th of March.
Mm.
I had the meeting with my consultant on the, as I say, on the 27th of February. So, it was about 10 days. And that's not, that was just, when they could fit me in. So that was fairly soon. It could have been a week.
Right.
A week later, it's just when they happened to be able to fit me in.
Sure.
On the day that was most convenient for me. But it was, it was about 10 days. So it was a month in all,
okay,
from being diagnosed to starting the chemotherapy.
Okay. So with chemo, I've heard all sorts of horror stories about how chemo affects people. And, obviously it's going to affect people in different ways depending on the person. How did you find it? It's obviously not pleasant, but how did you find the whole treatment thing?
Well, not, as you say, there are all sorts of horror stories that you hear. It's not nice, but they do give you anti-sickness medicine in with the chemotherapy, and
right,
then a whole bag full of anti-sickness stuff to take home with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty much protected from the nausea.
Right.
The side effect, I think, that bothers women most is the loss of hair.
Yes.
I actually chose to use a cold cap, I think it's called a hypothermia cap, if you want to Google it.
Okay.
Which isn't guaranteed to work, but it's basically a special cap that's frozen. They have special machines for it at Guildford.
Okay.
And you put it, when it's frozen, you put it on your head, it freezes the follicles or something,
mm-hmm,
so that the chemicals that are in your blood don't get there.
Don't get there,
like
right.
That.
Okay, I'm
so unmedical.
I kind of get that, yeah.
It doesn't work for everyone. I decided to give it a go. It was absolute agony for about 15, 20 minutes when they first put the cap on.
Right.
And I actually remember putting the cap on, sticking my headphones in my ears, mm, and listening to that first song you played this hour, the Nick Kershaw, Enjoy the Ride, which was incredibly appropriate at the time,
yes,
because I was in quite a lot of pain for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
After that, it sort of wears off. You get very cold.
Yeah.
But for me, I had to have this every time, and it worked. I kept my hair. So for me, that was well worth it.
Yes, yes.
The discomfort at the beginning of each session and the fact that I had to stay there for an extra couple of hours afterwards with the cap on.
So is the pain because of the cold?
Yes.
Right,
yeah,
so it's just the cold.
Yeah, you're just very, your head is very, very cold.
Right, okay.
And I don't think it's something that you can imagine.
No, I bet
it's
no.
Just, they warn me. They said, this is going to hurt. This is going to be cold. But it's just, there's not a pain that you really experience. Actual cold just to your head and not to any part of your body.
No,
it's
normally
very strange.
It's, normally, if you're sticking your hand in a freezer, it's your hands and,
yes,
it's very easy to warm your hands back up.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
Yeah. And you take them out of the freezer as soon as you can.
Yeah.
But it wasn't pleasant, but I'd say it was worth it.
Mm.
If anyone else is ever asked if they want to do that, then yes, it's worth it, and I would recommend it. I was lucky it worked for me.
Yeah.
If it hadn't have done, I wouldn't have had to wear it every time. But it helped. It meant I kept my hair to a great extent.
Yeah.
And that does wonders for your sort of self-image,
yes,
and whatever. That was good.
Okay.
The other effects, you don't feel them straight away, but a couple of days, the first course of treatment that I had for three sessions, for a few days, you feel rather nauseous.
Okay.
Very, very tired. The tiredness was a thing that affected me more than anything.
Is this because, presumably, they've pumped this stuff into your blood, and it's affected yes. your blood, because your blood is what carries your oxygen yes. and everything around.
Yeah, I think so, something like that. I wasn't that bothered knowing the whys and wherefores.
Yeah, you just, I just wanted to know
what was likely yes. to happen.
Yeah.
And some people, they said some people want to know everything. Yeah. Some people want to know nothing. Some people want to know bits in between. I was sort of in yeah. the middle. I wanted to know what would happen, but I wasn't that bothered about why it was going to happen.
Okay, yeah. You didn't need an essay on it.
No. I'm not a sciencey person, so it wouldn't have meant anything to me, and I'd have forgotten about it.
Right, yes.
Immediately. Yeah. So, I just wanted to know what would happen. They said you'd get very tired, and they give you a list of all the side effects. I remember for the first three treatments, feeling nauseous for a few days and very, very tired. I had to have help with getting the kids to school because a couple of times I tried it and
just wiped you out.
It just completely wiped me out.
Yeah.
My mum, who I think is listening, hello mum, was absolutely brilliant. She'd come every time I had a treatment over the weekend afterwards.
Yeah.
And then also over the time after that when I was vulnerable to infection because it depletes your white blood cell count.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes you vulnerable to infection. And, of course, with two small children,
They're carrying all sorts all the time, aren't they?
Yeah, they bring it all home from school and whatever. So mum was around for that in case I got ill, which actually happened once. I went down with rather nasty tonsillitis.
Oh, jeez.
I needed people to help out. I had people from a local church preparing meals for the week after the chemotherapy when mum went home for a few days, which was fantastic, and I was very, very grateful for that. This went on. This had gone on for about 10 days. The complete tiredness, the nausea, and then I'd feel better for another 10 days.
Then you have to go for another lot.
And then I went for another lot.
Chemo.
Yeah.
But I tried to make sure that in the 10 days I felt well, I did.
Enjoyed it.
Yes. I mean, not do anything major, but just enjoy being with the kids, enjoy taking them to school, enjoy just ordinary life, and try and get a bit of normality for those 10 days and just live for the 10 days and try not to think too much about the fact that I was going to have to go through it all again at the end of them.
Yeah. And presumably, when you're talking about the risk of infection, the risk of infection, that applies to, having to be careful, like not to cut yourself or get any sores on your lips or anything like that.
Yes.
God, what a nightmare.
Yeah, and they say to get your teeth sorted out before, because you can't really go to the dentist because that could set up an infection.
Oh, jeez.
So you have to be very, very careful.
It's almost tempting to try and lock yourself in a bubble.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's probably just as well I did have the kids, because otherwise I would have been tempted just to sit in my bedroom and say, right, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not having contact with anybody, but I couldn't do that. And that was probably just as well, because you could get absolutely paranoid about it.
And how long did the chemo last?
We had three lots of the first round, which was every 3 weeks. And then they started on another one called Taxotere, which is a very powerful one, which doesn't make you quite so nauseous.
Right.
The tiredness is still there. And again, the risk of the hair loss. But that one was more, it can have strange side effects, like your nails falling out and odd things like that, and that is more risk to your blood count, so I had to have injections for the time when I was on that.
Okay.
And it also makes you very, very achy,
right?
So, which doesn't wear off very quickly. I still have that effect now.
Oh really?
Yes.
Crikey. Have they said how long that's likely to last?
A long time, months up to a year from what I can gather. Yeah, I mean, I didn't realise that at the time. They don't tend to tell you that, I guess, at the time, because I think the recommendation is just to live in the moment and to take what's happening.
Yeah.
But afterwards, when I realised that particular effect hadn't worn off, I asked my consultant. He said, oh, yes, it'll be some months. So I sort of stuck with it.
Okay, so we're up to the end of the chemo. We'll take another break for some music, and we'll be back for another little chat.